You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's a new year and it's time for a new Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show where we talk about pop and geek culture stuff. I'm Cody.
I'm Josh.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Baby New Year. Goo goo gaga, everybody. No, I'm Sam. Hey, thank you all for tuning in. Happy 2016. Thank you all for tuning in. I think I already said that once. We got some news we're going to go over, but first, as always, we're going to do some things we've been checking out.
2016. Did you ever see that?
That commercial?
Yeah, that trailer for
2016.
Like 2016.
No, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, it's for one of those credit site things.
Oh, of course.
It's always got like this guy with like a stupid mustache, and his like wife is doing all the negotiating, and
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
I was referencing like this. It's like a movie trailer for some. I feel like some South African movie or something.
Oh,
2016.
Crap. Oh, wow. Crap.
2016.
I have not seen that. Then I am completely lost.
Hmm. I'm the only one that's seen that. Then.
Yeah. Hey, that's your check it out for the week. All right.
Yeah. So, hey, what do you guys check out? That's mine.
You know what? I actually have I've checked out a couple of things, and they're all things we've already talked about on the show. I got a chance to go back and catch up on a bunch of old TV, or newer old TV, I guess.
This season's TV.
This season's TV, yes. Watched a good majority of Jessica Jones. Really good. I wish I would have caught that like first run. I wish I had the time. But I'm glad I'm watching it now. Great. The guy who plays Luke Cage is excellent.
Yeah. I really like him. I also would have really liked Michael J. White.
Well, yeah, he would have been pretty good too.
Yeah.
But I like Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones a lot.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She totally makes me forget that she was also the bee in Apartment 23.
No, this is just a continuation of that story, right?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. David Tennant is sufficiently creepy.
Very creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He's so creepy. Yeah. And I don't understand how his character has like a fan following on like Tumblr.
Yeah,
that's your answer.
Yeah.
It's Tumblr. if something exists, it's on Tumblr. So
true.
Yeah. But no, I've been really digging it. I have a couple episodes left to go. It's weird that they introduced the character Nuke as like the semi-comedy relief for a couple episodes.
Yeah.
That's a weird pull, I think.
Yeah, given like his like the way he is in the comics, it's definitely kind of like a left field kind of thing.
Well, in the comics, he's like just super angry Captain America, basically. It's like
super racist angry Captain America.
Extreme 90s, like, yeah. Because he like paints the American flag on his face and he
gets
pills and stuff. Which he does in the show. Well, not the face paint, but the pills. And I'm hoping we get to see more with Patsy Walker, or Trish Walker, I guess, in the show.
Both.
Yeah, but I hope we get to see more of her character in later installments.
Yeah, Patsy's cool.
I like the series, but I don't think we're going to see a sequel like we're seeing with Daredevil here in a couple months.
I don't know. They're already talking about doing a season two of Jessica Jones.
Oh, really? See, I kind of thought, well, Luke Cage is going to be kind of...
Well, he's got his own...
Jessica Jones season two.
Yeah, he's got his own thing, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's going to be the Defenders, so...
Oh, yeah. That's coming up. But the other thing that I've been checking out, I got caught up on Rick and Morty season two.
Yeah.
Oh, good show. Oh, my gosh.
I thought this season was a lot more hit and miss than the first one, but it was still overall good.
See, I liked it as much as the first season, but for completely different reasons than the first season. The first season seemed, and maybe this is the benefit of watching it all in one big chunk like I did. The first season seemed was really great, really improvisational, just kind of weird stuff happening all over the place whenever. But the second season, it had like a definite like story arc that it wanted to tell. And it was definitely a lot more world building, I guess.
Yeah, but see, that's exactly what I'm not interested in with Rick and Morty. I want that improvisational, like goofy stuff that they were doing before, and I think the world building is lame.
Yeah, well, I think with enough world building, they can really get and hit the improvisational stuff hard the following season. I don't know, but it's weird. I thought the weakest episode was actually the a television show.
Oh, that was garbage.
Yeah, that was the worst episode of the lot.
It's not very good.
That's the worst episode of all of them.
Yeah, I think so. I agree.
And I think they even knew it too, because like Rick even makes the comment. It's like, what are you doing? It's like a sequel for some reason.
Yeah,
it was really forced and just not good.
No. No, it well, it's hard to top Ants in My Eyes Johnson and
yeah.
Like Two Brothers. The fake Doors ad.
Yeah.
But no, I have two words for you guys, and those two words are Tiny Rick.
That was probably my favorite.
That's
one.
A really
Tiny
great
Rick
episode.
Was a yeah. good episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I mean, there were some really great ones in there, episodes in that season, but there were a couple that, well, I guess the first season there was a couple that weren't great either.
Yeah. For as funny as it was, raising Gazorpazorp from first season
yeah,
was kind
one,
of a weak.
Yeah, that is a really, really weak episode.
It was just mm-hmm. a lot of dumb, like, gender comedy that would have been funny in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like,
but no, overall, I liked it. And I liked it, again, like I said, I liked it as much as the first season, but for completely different, like, reasons, I guess.
Crombopulous
Michael?
Yes. As like a reoccurring character.
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
My favorite episode of the season was the one where they had the brain parasites.
Oh, that one is
oh,
a good
yeah.
one.
Yeah, that's
that
my
is
favorite
a good
one.
One.
With the that one character that turned out to not be totally
yeah.
made up that we can't say on radio. Not because it's bad, but just because it's really childish.
Who, Pin Sylvester?
Oh, God. Jeez, yeah. Pin Sylvester.
Pin Sylvester. Yeah. I can't do it. I can't kill Pin Sylvester.
Not in front of Pin Sylvester.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But that was the same kind of, like, improvisational, like, almost lazy, but at the same time, really funny kind of stuff, like, that I like out of
yeah,
Rick and
well,
Morty.
That, yeah, I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like a character named Pin Sylvester. Pin Sylvester that is a pencil with arms and legs.
Well, I checked out some other stuff too, but I'm not going to get into those. I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, you might want to if we want to kill more time. let's see, what have I done over the past 2 weeks? Christmas.
I think we all had that.
Yeah. Doctor Who, the Doctor Who Christmas special was on Christmas, as it usually is.
As is the name, yeah. Yeah.
River Song came back, and she was great as usual. Same old River Song that everybody loved originally.
That episode was also really sad.
Yeah, it was. It had its sad moments. It was... See, what happened in it?
Well, me and River Song pretending to be married to someone else.
Yeah. And, like, the majority of the episode, she doesn't even realize that the Doctor
is
the
doctor.
Oh, really?
Because it's a face she's never seen.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because she only knows the original 12.
She pulls out this wallet and all these pictures fold out of all 12 different Doctors.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's like, it's got to be one of these.
With Matt Smith.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, I don't know if you guys ever watched the British skit comedy show Little Britain.
I've seen some of it.
The one guy they had on there was from Little Britain.
Oh, the guy that gets his head stolen by that robot. That robot was cool. There was a robot that would steal people's heads and put them inside of his robot body, and different heads that he stole would pop up out of the top.
Oh, wow.
Really? Because I thought it looked really jankety and cheap.
Well, I mean, it's Doctor Who, so it's going to look jankety and cheap. It looked cool for a Doctor Who monster. I want to give a shout out to the Grandview Theater.
If you weren't going to mention, I was going to say something.
Yeah, because we went out to see it at the Grandview, like we usually do for Doctor Who, because they always show it for free on the night it comes out. Mm-hmm. And apparently that Christmas showing was the last showing that they were going to do ever of anything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because one of the owners came out and gave a little, you know, talked to us a little bit and said it was the last showing ever. And that they were bought out by Studio 35, apparently, which is the same bar and theater that does Bad Movie Night.
Right.
But it really sucks because they did a lot.
Oh, yeah, we seriously got to know them pretty well.
Yeah.
They're really good people.
Yeah, we went to just about every Doctor Who, you know, the past couple seasons there. And, mm-hmm. you know, they'd recognize us when we came in and everything.
We were gone for, like, months, and we came back like, oh, it's really good to see you guys. I'm like,
that's cool. You don't see that very often with, like, small theaters and stuff like that. It is a shame.
They're really nice, and they obviously had worked really hard to restore it.
They kept full-time jobs along with running that theater. That wasn't, like, their main job.
Right.
That's just something they did.
That's cool. I mean, I like Studio 35, and I'm sure they're going to do something, something cool with the Grandview spot.
They're going to tear it down.
No,
they're gutting it.
Yeah, I read in the Dispatch that they're shutting it down for temporarily.
Yeah,
a couple months.
Yeah,
to gut it and remodel.
They're
going to
gut
stuff.
It and they're going to put a bar in there, and it's going to be pretty like much. Studio 35 probably.
Yeah,
but, in a different section of town.
Yeah, you know, shout out to Dave and Jen. Thanks for all the Doctor Who's and the great stuff at the Grandview.
Yeah, I remember going with you guys to see like Dr. Bob and like
I missed the midnight shift.
Yeah. I think that was the first time I went down to the Grandview was a midnight shift.
Yeah.
In fact, it was before we were doing the show, and you guys were there, and you were there with another group of people, Josh. It was the
Labyrinth
one.
Oh yeah, I went with a bunch of work friends.
Yeah,
that's so weird.
Yeah, the fact that we were all kind of like there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I knew you guys were there.
Yeah.
But how did I get to this place? Who drove me?
This labyrinth.
With that that David Bowie singer just stalking around the front of the stage.
And the back.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, I went there for a few of their midnight shifts. I did the labyrinth one. I did the Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
We didn't go to enough.
Yeah.
You know, I bet there's a lot of people saying that right now.
Yeah. I only went to the one Dr. Bob.
Oh.
Well, you can still go see Dr. Bob.
He's at the Gateway. Yeah.
Is he still doing that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's actually pretty successful at it now.
Huh.
I've been playing a lot of the spinoff of Danganronpa.
Okay.
Ultra Despair Girls, another episode, and it's like a spinoff game. Where it's hard to talk about it without spoiling the original game a little bit, kind
of. You might have to spoil a little bit, because I recognize that you were speaking English when you were saying the names of both of those games, but I don't know what any of that is.
Yeah, I don't either, so you can go ahead and spoil away.
Yeah.
Danganronpa is that game where you're trapped in a high school with a bunch of other high school kids, and they have to kill each other to get out.
Oh, okay.
Never even heard of it.
It's really good.
Don't look at me like that. I've never heard of it.
It's a really great series of games. It's very much like kind of Phoenix Wright and a visual novel.
Okay.
And a little bit of a dating sim, but not really dating. It's like a friendship sim all mixed together. It's really good. It's for Vita or PlayStation TV if you got one of those. But it's a spinoff of that, and you play as the main character from the original game's sister, who's loose in a city where kids are going nuts and they're killing adults.
Oh, weird.
And she's like old enough to be on the edge, not technically a kid anymore, so she's stuck with the adults and there's kids killing people.
Oh,
lovely. Weird.
And instead of it being a visual novel crossed with Phoenix Wright, this one's more like visual novel crossed with a kind of a shooter, kind of like a Resident Evil type thing.
Oh, okay.
Except all the zombies are that evil bear mascot character for the game, Monokuma. He's a little robot bear.
Okay. Oh, I think I've seen it. It's like black and white or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
at least recognize the iconography from that.
He's kind of the instigator of the whole high school killing thing.
Okay.
He's kind of the headmaster of the school.
Huh.
And in this game, all the bad guys are just different forms of him, robot.
So he's like Panda Ultron?
What? No, he's a small robot.
Yeah.
He's about ankle high.
Yeah. Panda Ultron. With a bunch of little versions of himself running around. That's what I was getting at.
You have like this hacking gun, which looks like a megaphone, and it only works on robots. So you can use this gun to shoot at the Monokuma robots. And there's different bullets that do different things. There's a knockback bullet to back them off
of
you. There's just a regular shoot bullet. There's a move bullet, which will, some places on the map have an electric car. If you shoot it with a move bullet, it'll drive forward, so it'll take out any Monokumas that are in front of it. And it gets puzzled. There's like puzzle rooms where you have to figure out how to use, they limit the bullets you have, and you have to figure out how to get through it using just those certain bullets to like blow up all the Monokumas at once. So it's a thinking man's shooting game. Visual novel.
Interesting.
It's really good. And it gets really dark, too, which I guess the originals did, too.
It sounds like it would get kind of dark.
Yeah. But it's good. I'd recommend it. If you've got a Vita, I mean, what else are you going to play?
pretty much. Yeah.
Sick burn.
Although, I mean, a Vita's worth owning for the Danganronpa series. I think they're all really good games. The stories are all really good. I mean, I got a Retron 5.
Oh, nice.
Somebody was nice enough to buy me one for Christmas.
You're welcome.
Which, I mean, it's pretty cool. You can take, what is it, like, Super Nintendo, NES, Genesis, Famicom, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy. Mm-hmm. All those different cartridges will fit into it, and you can play them right there on your TV.
Even your Game Boys.
Yeah. It upscales them for your, you know, HD TV so they don't look like garbage.
That's cool.
There's different filters you can put on.
Yeah, you can apply filters to make the graphics look better. It's pretty cool, except for they're a little questionable build quality.
Really?
Because the first one I got, none of the connectors for the cartridges worked. I could put whatever cartridge I wanted in there, it wouldn't read it.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had to... Luckily, it was through Amazon, so we just had to ship the other one back, and they already shipped us a new one.
Okay, cool.
And it works now, and I mean, it's cool. The controllers that it comes with is kind of janky.
Yeah, I've heard that a little bit about that. Yeah,
you're better... I mean, it has controller ports for all the systems that it supports, so you can...
You're better off just getting...
actual controller in there.
Yeah.
Because the wireless one it comes with... Every button clicks loudly when you press it.
Oof.
It doesn't have a legitimate D-pad. It's more like it's like a crappy circle pad on a 3DS. Yeah, and it clicks every time you move it too.
Huh.
It's not great. It's not a great controller. So you're better off plugging in the real thing. Yeah.
Now that thing, that system, it supports like save states too, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
So I guess I'd recommend it, but be careful because. Their build quality is not great, but that's what you kind of expect that when you're kind of a fly-by-night, like, piratey console.
Yeah.
I mean, it's legal.
Yeah, because you have to own the cartridge to plug into it. It's not quite like a downloading like illegal ROMs or anything like that.
But if you're into retro games and want to be able to play them on a modern TV without getting the... You got to do a bunch of stuff. You got to get the... What do they do to them? Because I know Warp Zone will mod your consoles to look better on... HDTVs.
Yeah, I think they solder extra leads for HDMI output, and they do... Yeah, it's a big involved process is what it ends up being.
And retro games will look real bad on an LCD, LED TV. Mm-hmm. It gets real blurry and terrible, so...
I don't know. I've been playing Super Mario World. It doesn't look too bad on my Super Nintendo.
I remember playing Sonic 2 on my 40-some inch Vizio, and it was just like a blurry nightmare.
Well, I've been... I checked out a few things. Mostly anime.
Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I finished One Punch Man.
Yeah, it's... I watched the first episode of that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I wish it was longer.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess there's like a lot. It's like a lot more involved, like in the original webcomic / manga.
Sure it was. Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoyed it to the end. It's not many episodes. It's one of those kind of short anime series,
mm-hmm.
like 13, 16 episodes, something like that.
Oh, that's not too bad.
They'll probably pick it up again since it's been so popular.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. One can hope. Yeah. God, it's so nuts, but it was so good. It's like a lot of people talk about, you know, there's like a big, keep seeing these things like big nerd fights online on who would win in a fight between like Saitama and Goku. And people were talking about like, well, Goku's the strongest in the universe, blah, blah, blah. He's always fighting to get better. Like, that's not the point of One Punch Man. The point of One Punch Man is the fact that he is so comically overpowered. That he literally kills everything and destroys everything in one punch. And the show is about his boredom with his supreme power. It's basically, that's what it is. It's not about him being strong because there is literally no limit to him.
It's a moot point.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really want to compare power to power, Saitama would kill him in one punch because that's what he does.
Right.
But no, it's...
But what about Superman? What about if you fought Superman?
One punch. Though Saitama can't fly. He can jump really good, but he can't fly. So there's that, I guess. But he's got like that impervious bald head with that dopey look on his face.
Oh, yeah.
And I love how the anime sometimes like will put in like the really like kind of a homage to the bad art of the original webcomic. Because there are times like Saitama will just turn around and he just looks like garbage. And they do it on purpose.
That's awesome.
Other than that, I've been catching up on Gundam. Like, my big Japanese...
Gundamu.
Gundamu. Yeah. That's my big Japanese addiction for the longest time. Gundam's like one of my favorite franchises of all time. I've been kind of flipping through Hulu and they have a couple series on there and I've kind of been watching those. And I kind of forgot a little bit how long Gundam series are. Like, I thought I was getting to the end of it. No, I'm like halfway. And I was like, man, what are they doing with all these stories? Because it's kind of like, I felt like it was wrapping up, but it's really not. The one I'm watching right now is really, really kind of weird. I can't remember exactly how to pronounce the name. It's got like a weird kind of almost Latin-y name.
Gundam.
Actually, they only say the word Gundam so far in the series once.
Should we explain to our listeners what Gundam is?
Okay, yeah, probably. Gundam.
Giant fighting anime robots.
Yeah, it's kind of the godfather of giant mech robot mechas anime. Yeah.
It's the film Godfather, but with giant robots. No, it's not what it is.
No, it's big robots.
I would watch the hell out of that right now.
But it's big robots piloted by people, so they're not like autonomous or well for the most part anyway. And there are a billion Gundam series, so many, and this one it's kind of hard to describe, but it takes place after the main original universe's kind of story arcs. Like it takes place like at least 100 years after.
Okay.
They're like in a new era of mankind, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And they were kind of like outlawing technologies from the previous century.
Would be Gundams.
Well, mobile suits, spaceships, a lot of stuff. Basically, because it led to the downfall of mankind. Basically, through all the wars of the previous age, mankind's population shrunk a lot. And so they almost set this like religious kind of thing to it. And they called it like, they call it their taboos, and there's like all these different factions, and then there's like, and all of a sudden like you're halfway through the series and this faction from the other side of the moon shows up and everyone's like, we all thought they were a myth, and here comes the space fleet evading
that's
the earth.
Cool.
Yeah kinda. I mean, it's not the best Gundam series I've seen, but it's okay. I mean, it's better than a bunch I've seen. And then I watched the first episode of a brand new Gundam series that just started in Japan, set in the war of the original storyline. And it's pretty brutal.
I'm sorry, I thought I was going to sneeze there for a minute. I thought I was going to totally wreck your flow by sneezing. And as it turns out, I wrecked your flow by not sneezing. I'm sorry, continue. Tell me more about fighting robots.
But, fighting robot.
But it's
Gundamu?
Yeah. Honestly, pretty much. It's kind of how the original theme goes. But Gundam originally started in 1979. And it's kind of like a huge staple in Japan. Like, there's museums and all kinds of stuff dedicated.
They keep building them. Like, not working ones.
Oh, yeah.
But they keep building, giant action figures of them, basically.
Yeah, well, the last one they did could move, kind of. Like, the head moved.
Nice.
And it lit up and, like, had all these, like, vents and stuff that would vent gases and smoke or whatever.
vent gas? Poison gas?
Yeah.
There's big Ava units, too.
Hmm? You can get Ava
units.
Yeah, Ava from Neon Genesis Evangelion with more fighting robots, but a really messed up storyline.
And yet not a single giant robot from Super Sentai in real life yet. Just
that's
dudes
surprising.
In suits.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you can go to like cafes, and there's like the Sentai Cafe and the Kamen Rider like restaurant where you can get like the Kamen Rider bug juice smoothie.
Yeah, but there's a Gundam museum that has a bunch of cool stuff in it. There's the Gundam Cafe. I mean, Gundam is Japan's Star Trek or Star Wars. I mean, it's a huge thing for them.
I've heard Dragon Quest be called Japan's Star Wars before.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, they're really good. I mean,
so I guess that would Gundam would probably be the Star Trek.
Yeah.
Or maybe Evangelion. I mean, there was an Evangelion 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
7-Elevens are huge over there.
Yeah.
I've kind of noticed.
Well, Japan loves their little convenience stores.
Yeah, combinis.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's like one in like every neighborhood. And they're not all jankety like the ones around here.
Yeah.
Where it's questionable to go into.
I really need some milk and it's 2 a.m, but I don't want to get stabbed.
Pretty much. Or get accosted by a prostitute. But yeah, anyway, this new series, it's called Gundam Thunderbolt. And it's based off a short-run manga that ran in Japan. And it's this note, like, other Gundam series will have characters on both sides of whatever conflict they have that are kind of likable or identifiable. So far, no. In this one, everyone's a jerk.
Just a bunch of garbage jerks.
Oh, yeah. Like, the main, I guess it would be the hero of the series. He tricks a guy to open his cockpit because he thought there was something wrong with his equipment, and shot him straight in the face.
Jeez.
Like, didn't even know he was there. Just like, hi, boom. And all his friends were watching on monitors when it happened.
Wow. Now, I heard that this series was like, it's kind of short. It's like a OVA size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like they three or four episodes or something like that.
Well, OVAs tend to be about 10.
10? Okay.
10 episodes or so. Right.
That stands for original video animation. It's like a straight to DVD.
Yeah. They do that. They do that a lot in Japan,
yeah.
Especially with Gundam. God, there are so many. There was like MS Igloo, MS Igloo 2, Gundam Origins, Origins 2. Oh, just so much. I could trip over all this stuff.
Gundam Wing.
Huh?
Gundam Wing. I just wanted to say Gundam Wing.
Gundam Wing's not bad. I mean, there are, in my opinion, better Gundam series, but it's not bad. I mean, it gave Gundam Wing on Toonami gave a lot of kids in our generation and stuff like their first look at it.
Yeah, what's the one with the tiny ones?
With the what?
The tiny ones, like human-sized ones, or like tiny.
G Gundam? Isn't that G Gundam?
No, G Gundam was basically Gundam Dragon Ball.
Was it Seed?
No, Seed. No. You're thinking SD Gundam.
Okay.
They were kind of chibi looking.
Super deformed, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard that wasn't very good.
No, but I do own a figure from that series.
And that's probably what the whole reason why they made that series was so they could sell.
Oh, yeah. Tiny toys. There's a series in Japan called Gunpla, and it's based on toys. It's about people in Gundam toys, and they fight.
Yeah.
But that's weird. But, I'll tell you though, Japan has some amazing Gundam like arcade machines.
I bet.
Oh my god, like super amazing. Like you get like a memory card that you can plug into it and it saves your data and you can go from different arcade machines as long as it's the same game.
Oh, like that horse racing game down at Dave & Buster's.
Yes.
That game rules.
That's a great game.
Yeah, like that. Which I want to play sometime, but I've never played.
It's always broken every last couple times we've been there.
And every time it's not broken, I don't have my card with me.
Yeah. Oh,
the king of town must be raced.
The king of town. Butterdog, it tells me not to drink it, but I do anyhow. They stole away me poopsmith. Oh my god, I miss Homestar Runner so much.
I do too. They did a Halloween cartoon, and that was the last thing they did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they're testing the waters or something.
I think they're probably going to come back with something on YouTube, is my guess. Listen, we have gone over, so we got to go take a break. And when we come back, we will get into some news and
Woo!
Stuff.
Big Zam.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus, 419-562-0404, and online at subcultureoh.com.
You know, I never really got into that stuff too much, but every once in a while, if I really need to get sleep, I put my phone on a 10-hour loop of the Star Trek, like, ambient ship noise. Just the little... Yeah, it's like the light beeps with like the low bassy.
That would work. That would work for me.
Steph really likes listening to white noise when she sleeps. She has like this app or something that works on her phone and she gets to pick different things.
Wow.
And it's rain falling and cat purring like together.
Like Raining cats.
Raining purring cats.
Oh, they're okay. They're on trampolines. It's okay. They're all bouncing back up.
But oh man, did any of you ever watch Scream Queens?
No.
I need to.
There's an episode where Jamie Lee Curtis's character is listening to a white noise machine, and it's either whale songs, they're like really loud, or Chainsaw Maniac at a summer camp or something. And,
nice.
And she's like sitting there, and it's like super loud, and all you hear is chainsaws and people screaming and stuff.
Nice. Did you hear she dressed up for like another convention and like snuck around
again?
Yeah.
Well,
she was.
It was another gaming convention, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
Anyway, we're back. I know we're not supposed to do cold opens, but I think we should.
Hey, new year, new way of coming back from the break. I don't know.
That was a Scarface covering Ace of Spades, since Lemmy passed away just a couple days ago.
Yeah.
From Motorhead.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but that's a great song.
I like how they did... didn't listen to a whole lot of Motorhead, to be honest, but I like how they later in their career did a lot of stuff with Trauma. Like, a lot of their music ended up on like soundtracks for like Toxic Avenger and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And honestly, pretty much like everybody in like the music world pretty much worked with Lemmy.
Just about.
At some point. They at least all knew him. Oh, that's what it was. She was a WoW character. That's what it was.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we were
she went to BlizzCon as a WoW character.
Right, because, that's kind of a thing. That's kind of awesome that Jamie Lee Curtis is, like, going to conventions, not as, like, a public speaker or anything like that, just to go.
Yeah, to enjoy the ambiance.
Yeah, because she went to Evo.
As Vega.
As Vega, he has a mask on.
Yeah.
As a character.
Yeah, I really love the fact that she's a huge old nerd.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Jamie Lee Curtis, probably pretty dang cool.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no probably about it. And very regular.
I try to get yes. Yes, the most regular woman on television. Nailed it. All right, well, we've killed about 5 minutes. Let's go ahead and talk about some news here. Go ahead.
There was a little film that came out.
There was.
A couple weeks ago, not many people talk about it or know about it.
I know. I love the Chipmunks. I'm glad they're coming back for a fourth one. It's amazing. It's amazing. The Squeak Island.
Road chip.
It was the road chip. How could I miss that delicious pun? The road chip.
Makes no sense.
It does because they're chipmunks.
The road movie is the third movie, not the fourth movie.
That's right. They go to space in the fourth movie, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they did regular, and then the second one was... What was the Squeakquel?
The Squeakquel.
Which was, you know, a regular one again. And the third one, which is supposed to be the road trip.
No, road chip, get it right.
The road chip, but it said they did the deserted island.
Yeah.
Which you don't do the third. Second one should be camping trip.
Yeah,
third one is not deserted. The third one's road trip.
Okay, what's fifth one?
Then
if fourth is space.
Well, maybe fourth is road trip. Wait, no. Then they'd be right.
No.
Yeah, fourth is space, fifth...
In the hood.
In the hood.
Oh, man. Chip off the old block.
Chip off. Chip off.
Oh, Alvin and the Chipmunks 5, new chip on the block. The voices of all of the new kids on the block. They need squirrels.
They need to do a movie based on the album Chipmunk Punk.
Yeah.
And then a reboot.
Oh, yeah. By then, they'll have to reboot it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Alvin and the Chipmunks, The Origin.
Yeah.
That's what they do with Leprechaun. The Lewis movie is The Origin.
Oh, it's the worst, too.
Yeah, with Hornswoggle.
Hornswoggle the wrestler. Yeah. Yeah, that one's terrible. Terrible.
What are you talking about? Pretty much all the Leprechaun movies are terrible.
No. Some of them are pretty great. In a bad way, but they're great.
Leprechaun 6 in space.
That's what it is. The sixth one is the space one.
Speaking of space movies,
we all saw this little, it's kind of an independent, lesser known film called Star Wars.
It's very art noir.
Yeah. But it was great. It was super, super good. We were hype about it 2 weeks ago when we talked about what we were hoping was going to be in it. As it turns out, some of those we got right.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to talk about it a little bit. Now, it's been a couple weeks since the movie's been out, so we might spoil some light stuff. The major things, I think we should probably try to steer clear.
Yeah, we won't drop any big bombs in case you haven't seen it.
Yeah, so in case you haven't seen it, but you're not too worried about, like, little stuff, like where Lupita Nyong'o's CGI character popped in, or, like...
Oh, my God! Did you guys see the pictures where there's, like, I've seen these eyes before, and it's,
It's Sophie from
the Golden Girls.
Golden Girl.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. But yeah, stuff like that we're gonna talk a little bit about. But the major stuff we're gonna skip over. So you know, listen at your own risk, I guess.
Yeah. So the big Jar Jar reveal. We're not gonna spoil that.
No, definitely not. Return of Jar Jar. No, not gonna talk about that.
Or Captain Phasma's scuba diving holiday.
You wanna try that one again? No. But no, it was really good. I thought all of the characters were very well developed, with the exception of Poe. Poe was great. Poe Dameron was a great character. He got probably the least amount of screen time of the main new three cast.
Yeah, and the fact that he opened the movie.
Yeah, so I'm hoping the subsequent sequels are going to follow him a little more and give a little more backstory on his character.
I read that he was supposed to die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was supposed to, when you think he's dead in the movie, he was supposed to have actually been dead.
Oh, so that's how they just kind of hand wave how he came back.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, no, I got away.
They liked him so much that they decided they'd keep him around.
That's cool.
I really like Oscar Isaac.
Yeah.
As like an actor. I think he's great. He's super charismatic.
Have you seen him in Ex Machina?
No, but I've heard that movie's kind of good.
It's really good.
It's him, and it's the guy who's like the Grand Moff Tarkin for this movie.
Oh,
The Weasley kid.
Hux. General Hux. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Huxtable. Two of them. Basically, yeah.
Oh.
We're not going to touch that.
Yeah. But but no, I liked all the characters. I think Poe needed the most work.
Yeah. Though his like on-screen chemistry with like
Finn,
John Boyega was amazing. Yeah, my God.
Very, very good.
Like, when they're, like, flying around in, like, the TIE fighter together, I'm like, I feel like we're, like, watching, like, the birth of the greatest bromance ever.
Oh, yeah. And memes online will
absolutely lead you to that.
Oh, sure.
Right after that scene, after they had flown away, that was the point where I'm like, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good movie.
I agree. Yeah. Now, I forget which one of us called it a while ago, but we said that Finn wasn't like his actual
you.
Name.
It was me?
Okay.
That was
going to be some
call number.
It was like FN-whatever.
Yeah.
And actually, I found out the number that was after it is the number that was on Leia's cell in A New Hope.
Oh.
Yes, but that number itself also has like an even greater meaning than just that. It's something with Lucas and like his film school stuff or whatever.
Well, like him putting THX 1138 and everything. Yeah.
Whether
you want it there or not.
Yeah. I also was like, when I was watching the movie, there's a lot of Ralph McCurry like concept art that was like originally for like the original films and stuff.
That kind of showed up
in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the snowtroopers were more designed after his concept sketches, including like this little design they have on their chest or whatever was in his drawings. Mm-hmm. The arch for the little outpost or whatever that Rey dumps her salvage off was supposed to be like the gateway to Jabba's palace.
Okay.
All kinds of stuff.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. There was like, and the fact that BB-8 is based off the original conceptual design for R2-D2.
And that's cool. I'm glad that character is going to stick around a little more. Longer.
Yeah, BB-8 was great. I was worried because he had a lot of potential to be
the Jar Jar.
The Jar Jar, the Poochie of the Force Awakens, but he was actually a really likable little guy.
Yeah, and oh my God, and like the fact that of a character that doesn't talk,
he really emoted.
Oh yeah, very well.
That
for a ball,
the lighter thumbs up.
Yeah.
when he and Finn are like
kind of bullcrapping back and forth.
Yeah, that was great.
And the fact that like. He's sitting there trying to, like, bull his way to whatever this little story he's trying to tell Rey. And, like, BB-8's, like, looking and, like, looking back at him and looking back at Rey. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is the best.
Yeah.
I will say, the humor in the movie was not over the top.
It was Star Wars.
Humor.
Oh, yeah. It was
just the right amount.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't kiddish. It was good.
Yeah.
Especially my favorite two stormtroopers, as in this one group on Facebook I'm part of, we've coined them TK Hard Pass and FN Nope.
Is any either one of those the traitor guy with the electric disco stick?
No.
Because he's my favorite.
Traitor Trooper is the best. But no, they're the two guys that like were coming down the hallway when Kylo Ren's having his little tantrum. Mm-hmm. In the
second tantrum.
Oh, yeah. The second big tantrum he has, and like all those like parts from the room are flying into the hallway. Yeah. And they just kind of stop and go, nope, and like walk the other way.
God, what a baby.
I hate Kylo. Well, like,
but that might be the point.
Yeah, I understand that's the point, but man, I didn't like him.
Yeah.
I think he'll be more focused in the next films. I think so. He will be a more
driven, matured
character. Villain.
The first time that he had his little tantrum and like destroyed the room, I'm like, oh man, this guy's kind of scary. Like, what a scary guy.
He was just being a big old crybaby.
Yeah, the second time he did it, it was like, okay, you're a baby.
There's a Twitter account called Emo Kylo Ren.
I love
he
it.
Only follows Hot Topic and Darth Vader. And actually, I just saw Hot Topic retweeted to them. He's like, he tweeted to Hot Topic if they had any job openings, but it had to be part time because he's kind of got like this apprenticeship thing going on. And they tweeted back saying something about. Oh, I don't even remember now, but it was really, really good.
That's great.
I was shopping for Christmas presents at Hot Topic, and I had a Star Wars shirt on, so the guy at the register is like, oh, did you see the new movie? I'm like, yeah, did you like it? Yeah, I thought it was really good. And he's like, I didn't like Kylo Ren, though. And, oh, me either. He was kind of a weenie. And the guy goes, yeah, he seemed like somebody who would shop here.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, it's hilarious. She's coming out of a Hot Topic clerk.
Yeah. As a former Hot Topic clerk at one point in my life, yeah, that sounds about right.
And on one hand, it's like, wait, I'm shopping here. But it's like, no, I get what he meant.
Yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
The whole movie was just great. I mean, I can't really find huge plot holes that I really had a problem with.
There's been an argument, at least when the movie first came out, especially by one film director.
Idiot.
Max Landis, the son of John Landis, who said that Rey, the main female character, and probably the main character, she is the main character, that they made her a bit of a Mary Sue, that they gave her like all this power and all this extra stuff, and she's like a perfect pilot and also a perfect Jedi and all this stuff. And
no.
Well, yeah. I don't agree with it. I can see where he's coming from. Then again, I also know that Max Landis likes to say things on the internet just to get attention. No one was talking about him for a while, so he wanted to stir some stuff up. But I can kind of see where a certain mindset would pull that. I don't believe it, but I could see where that certain mindset could kind of pull those conclusions if you go in looking for
it.
You know what I mean?
Like, everybody in Star Wars is extra good at everything.
Yeah, true. Not Han Solo. He's, like, not good at anything.
Yeah, but yeah, Chewie's the one always fixing the ship.
Well, that's true. He's a good talker, I suppose.
Yeah.
Without getting into too much spoilers on that front, what do you think of the returning cast for what they showed up in?
They were all good.
Great. Yeah. Well, for the most part.
Yeah, not a whole lot of Luke Skywalker, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get plenty of him within the next movie.
We're gonna see more of the old guard for certain. Yeah,
oh, he'll be all over the place in this.
Yeah,
yeah, he'll be the Yoda.
Yeah,
he'll be the Han of the next movie. Like this movie was a lot of Han.
It was a lot of Han.
It was a lot of Han.
Of all the cast members, there was more Han than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We should probably move on from that because we're kind of getting a little close. We're dancing a little close.
I really love all the new characters. Like,
I do too.
Like Rey, Finn, Poe, Kylo Ren. I mean, because I could see where he's going.
Matt Parkman from Heroes as TIE Fighter pilot with a beard.
TIE Fighter pilot with a beard?
He was this movie's Porkins.
TIE Fighter pilot?
No, not TIE Fighter.
X-Wing
pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, Matt Parkman, Greg Grunberg.
Oh my god, there were so many cameos, it was ridiculous. Like Simon Pegg's in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Craig is in the movie.
He is. And that's, it's awesome. I don't want to spoil.
I know, his part was great.
Yeah.
But he's a stormtrooper, so it's really hard to tell unless you're listening. Yeah. I think a dude from Radiohead was even in the movie. I think he's
Tom York?
No.
Tom York wouldn't have been in that. It's Star Wars. No way.
That's why I was surprised.
Lots of Game of Thrones people. Oh my God.
Sure.
So many Game of Thrones people, like, well, sure, just doing little bit parts.
I mean,
well, yeah, her, but yeah. But I meant like other people, like one of the female X-Wing pilots was a Game of Thrones actress and stuff.
I tell you what, you wanna talk about a character that I'm a little bit disappointed in? Phasma.
Yeah. I mean, they built her up and
for
built her
up. As much as they built up, yeah.
Yeah, she really didn't really do a whole lot. But from what I've read, she's supposed to come back.
That's good.
Yeah, she's in the next movie. You'll get plenty of Phasma in the next movie.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want some, like, really cool action scenes with her.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of expecting. But for this movie, just as a bottle kind of,
yeah.
Didn't really have that much of an impact.
Yeah, she was like Empire Strikes Back Boba Fett.
Pretty much, yeah.
Stand which, around, look cool,
yeah, look
set
really
a line.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, she looks amazing. Yeah. Oh,
that
my God.
Might have been the point, though.
Well, yeah. But you want to talk about looking amazing? Freaking Spin Tomfa Trooper.
Yeah. Disco.
Disco Trooper.
Spin Stick.
Oh, my God.
I heard there's a theory that his Spin Stick is based on the guards that
Grievous had
in the prequels. Those purple electric. Like Tomfa staff
their stun staffs or whatever.
Zappy sticks.
Yeah,
that's what I call
zappy
them.
Sticks.
I think that's a technical term. Zappy sticks.
Yeah. Well, from what I remember reading, like we're seeing in like the action figure stuff. I think he was just supposed. He's like a riot trooper. Like he had a shield and he had that stun baton.
Yeah, and that's cool. I like the slight variations on the trooper.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I really liked about the movie. We can finally get away from the stupid jokes of Stormtrooper being useless. Because they were not useless. They were pretty formidable.
They were. Did you catch the Clerks reference?
No.
This isn't a spoiler because it's just said when they asked where Finn was stationed in the main battle station, he said he was in sanitation. In Clerks... They when they're doing the big huge talk about, you know, general contractors working on the Death Star, Randall says, "Do you think a stormtrooper knows how to install a toilet?"
Oh man,
yeah.
See, I thought that reference was a reference to space janitors.
I've also heard it might be a reference to how they fell into the trash compactor chute in New Hope.
Yeah,
which would be sanitation. But I would like to believe, and I've seen on multiple spots that it was supposed to be
a straight up. Clerks reference
in Star Wars, which is great.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, and there's like references to all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
I liked the character Maz.
Maz was a very good character. I'm
sure we will see more.
You don't hire Lupita Nyong'o for five minutes on screen.
That and like
CGI suit.
From what I've heard, like from the cross between like the original script and the novelization of the movie, she was supposed to end up at the Resistance base.
Okay, so she could pop back up.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It sucks we have to wait a full year before we get another Star Wars movie.
And it won't even be Episode 8.
Yeah.
It's going to be Rogue One.
Rogue One.
Which I'm excited for.
Oh, no, I'm excited for Rogue One, too.
Yep. I think J.J. did an excellent job with this movie, and I'm glad he's not directing the next one.
Yeah.
Though I guess he recently read the script for Episode 8 and he's really regretting not directing it.
Well, you know what? If he didn't come back with Star Trek Into Darkness, I would be bummed out that he's not directing it. But he set up a perfect situation where he could revitalize the series and then let someone else do the sequel. Because the one thing J.J. Abrams can't do very well, historically, is make a compelling sequel.
True.
He can start it, but he can't continue it.
Because, I mean, I like Into Darkness, but it's still not great.
And Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah,
it was not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did that. That was bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his track record for sequels are not great, so that's why I'm glad he's moving on. We do want to kind of touch on one kind of bummer bit. George Lucas saw it.
I think that's your reaction.
Yeah, I think that pretty
I
much
think
says it
pretty
all.
Much everybody's reaction to it.
He didn't like it too much.
Just to prove how out of touch he is with his own franchise.
Yeah, but you know what? The guy's entitled to his own opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's not the original intent that he saw for the episode 7, he has every right in the world to dislike it for whatever reason he'd like.
Just like I have every right to say he's an idiot.
Well, he. It's coming off sounding an awful lot like sour grapes.
Yeah, yeah, he sounds awfully bitter.
Yeah, we don't really have the time to get into it too quick, but he was not happy with it. He says he would have done it differently. But then again, prequels weren't that great, George. No,
he had his chance to do it again, and he messed up 3 times in a row.
Yeah, yeah, so...
I mean, it was kind of coming up on an upswing, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, he wasn't getting there fast enough.
It was always my intention that the Force was aliens in your bloodstream.
It was always my intention to make 3 really, really bad prequels.
To make you appreciate the original more.
And you know what?
Come on, Josh, you gotta do one.
I can't do his. I can't do his voice.
Okay, I got one loaded in the chamber. It was always my intention that neither Han nor Greedo shot first. It was the bartender.
You know what? As far as George, he's the biggest load of bullcrap ever. Talking about how he had pre-planned all this stuff originally, like back in the day. But it's like, dude, I've seen the stuff from like the original script write-up for Star Wars. It was a completely different movie.
Yeah.
Han was an alien. Luke was an old Jedi general. So on and so forth.
They made a comic series about it.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's completely freaking different.
He spent a lot of time just making crap up to put on the back of action figure boxes. Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Also, can I just say how weird, it's always been a thing with Star Wars, is how every little character that ever, like, flashes across the screen, no matter how long, gets an action figure, especially from, like, the keener size.
Merchandising!
Yeah, merchandising.
Spaceballs.
Yeah. Oh, Spaceballs 2 is apparently going to start production very soon.
That's great. Oh, I mean, strike while the iron's hot.
You know, yeah, that's pretty much what Mel Brooks was saying.
If Mel Brooks is going to remake one of his, or do a sequel to one of his classics, I'm glad it's Spaceballs.
Yeah, that was the time.
I would love to see Rick Moranis come back. I don't think he's going to come back.
No, he's too deep in that retirement.
And the country music.
Yeah.
The Neurotic Cowboy. That was his album. I'm not making that up.
No, I know.
But if they find, you know, if they want to spoof the new
stuff,
they could probably find a young actor who can do a... Rick Moranis light kind of impression, and it would work just
like
fine.
like a Kylo Ren version of Dark Helmet.
Yeah. Oh, that's ripe for comedy.
It really is, and like a lot of the social commentary with the film itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would have a ball with it.
Oh, sure.
Like
a space ball. What?
That was a good pun. That was a good one. That was a good one, Samantha. But no, like, oh, come on. You come up here often.
Is it the way I said it? Like I was so sure of myself.
Don't underestimate his power. But, like all the huge social commentary when it came to, like, The Force Awakens. People complaining the fact that Rey was the main character. The fact that Finn is a black guy. Or the fact that Oscar Isaac, yeah, he's Hispanic, but his character's very...
Let's walk back from this.
Yeah. Yeah, let's take a hard left on that.
Yeah, let's cut all this. Let's cut all that.
But no, overall, I think it's great. I'm looking forward to going back and seeing it again.
Yeah, I want to see it again.
Yeah, I'm seeing it again Saturday. So today?
Today. It would be today, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm
super excited because I really want to look back and, like, catch things mm-hmm. that I missed before that I kind of read about online.
Yeah.
How great is Rey? Rey is the best.
Rey is the best.
Seriously, Rey is my hero. Yeah. I want to grow up and be Rey.
Yeah.
I mean, until we see Poe do more.
Yeah. I mean, she had never been in a movie before this movie.
That's not true. Really, no. No.
Yeah, she's only done TV. This is her first movie. Her first movie is Star Wars.
And Daisy Ridley just knocked it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I mean, I love her character. I love her acting. She's just really good.
Yep.
And I think it kind of goes back to the whole thing of like with the Marvel movies and how successful they are. For the most part, most people in them haven't done a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yes and no. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. went away for a long time and came back.
Yeah, true.
Chris Evans has done a million things.
But none of them particularly good until Captain America.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, really.
I mean, Fantastic Four. Teen movie.
Yeah. Or, well, I like Scott Pilgrim a lot.
Yeah. But he was in that for maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough to crash the skateboard
and explode into coins. Anyway, hey, listen, I hate to cut it short, but we are out of time.
Wow, already. Star Wars. Time.
Yeah.
Hey, it's seriously, it made so much money.
Yeah.
That made what was it? $100 million, like all like worldwide.
I think it hit a billion.
Yeah,
it hit a billion.
Worldwide. Yeah, it beat the domestic box office record
for Jurassic World.
Yeah, so Jurassic World it got knocked off its short lived throne.
Yeah,
which knocked Avengers off its throne.
Yeah,
and I guess part of it goes to where I'm like, nostalgia will pretty much beat most things.
Well, sure.
Well, Jurassic World was almost all nostalgia, really.
Yeah, yeah it really was.
It was a pretty good movie, but it was mostly nostalgia that
it was
fueled it.
Yep.
Go check out the Deadpool trailer. It's really good.
It's really good. You know, we'll talk about that next week
because
it's worth talking about. But
it out on the site.
Yeah, go check out the site nerdoverload.com while you're there. We're going to actually have some stuff up soon. Stuff that's not just the podcast episode. So keep on checking back on that.
As was the original intent with the website. It'll have content.
Yeah.
Other than the podcast.
Well, thanks for listening.
Facebook page.
Oh, you already did the website. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is how we usually do it.
Come on. It's been a couple weeks. I get it. New year. Everything's fresh, you know. 2016.
You can find us at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
There it is.
Woo, you did it. You can email us with any concerns, questions, or requests at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet us tweets @nerd_overload.
Yep, and I think that's it. So thanks again for checking us out, and we will be back next week.
Pizza out, 2016.
Woo! May the force be with you.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.